It's time for the Word of God. Let's look to the Lord. Father, we love you and we thank you for this opportunity to share your Word. God, I have studied, God, but I need your strength. I have prepared, but I need your power. I'm willing and I want to, but God, I need your help. Lord, forgive me of my sins now. Consecrate me now for thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. May my soul look up with a steadfast hope and my will be lost in thine. In Jesus' name we pray. Let us all say amen. Amen. I want to thank God for the reading of the scripture this morning found in Acts, the second chapter. I want to focus in on the 37th through the 38th verses. The 37th through the 38th verses. And the Bible says this: Now when they had heard this, they were pricked in their heart. And they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Corinne, I'm just getting a little bit still feedback up here. Can you just bring me down just a tad? Amen. 37, it says, Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and they said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Turn to your neighbor this morning and say, Neighbor. I know y'all talk a little louder than that. Let's try it again. Turn to your neighbor and say, Neighbor. What shall we do? Get the other neighbor. Make sure and understand the message. Act like they have your money this morning. Say, Neighbor. What shall we do? Somebody took that literally. Started shaking somebody. What shall we do? We are dealing with this issue of the Holy Spirit, A couple weeks ago, we dealt with the message of putting your money to your where your mouth is, understanding that what is the response of the Holy Spirit being in your life. There should be a manifest presence of God, that there should be miracle signs and wonders, that the gospel should be preached, that people should come unto repentance, and then also you should be able to put your money where your mouth is, where you should have a will to be able to willfully commit your resource to the kingdom of God. I just really was compelled this morning to really deal and to stay on this issue of the Holy Spirit. I am like completely out of theological order because we are dealing with the Holy Spirit before the Resurrection Sunday. And then also last week I dealt with the latter part of the book of Acts, the second chapter, and now I'm going backward in the text. But this is the order that it came to me, so this is the way you're going to get it, all right? The Holy Spirit, you know, we have big issues with this in every denomination of dealing with the Holy Spirit, and some people just try to completely run away from it. But I believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. Somebody say the Holy Spirit. Somebody say Holy Ghost. It's the same Greek word, same stuff, same power, same move of God, but it can happen in your life. And when the presence of the Holy Spirit is not only indwelling in your life, but empowering your life is different than it was before. Somebody said it this way, that I looked at my hands and they looked new. I looked at my feet and they did too. Oh, what a change in my life has come. The Holy Spirit, in John the 7th chapter, verse 37 39, Jesus said these words. He says, if any man come to me, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. And he that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus had not been glorified. You have to understand that while the disciples were with Jesus here on earth, Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit. He had all power. Matter of fact, the scripture says that the Father loveth the Son, and he giveth not the Spirit by measure, but he giveth all power into his hands. Jesus had the Holy Ghost. And he walked with the disciples. He was with the disciples. And because Jesus was with the disciples, the Holy Spirit was with the disciples. But Jesus says that I go away and I send you another comforter, and he shall abide with you. He shall not only be with you, but he shall be in you. How many people want the Holy Spirit to be in them this morning? How many people want to be filled with the presence of God's Spirit? In the second chapter of the book of Acts, the Bible says this, that when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all on one accord and in one place. And then the Spirit of God came in like a mighty rushing wind and filled them all where they were sitting. And it appeared to them as cloven tongues of fire, and they spake with other tongues. Somebody say, other tongues. Now, there's a lot of controversy and a lot of challenge over this issue of speaking in tongues. Matter of fact, on the way here, I stopped by a church and I was talking to somebody about, you know, what we were dealing with this morning. And he says, "Oh, you believe in that speaking in tongues stuff?" Yes, I do believe in that speaking in tongues stuff. I believe in the gifts and the manifestations of the Spirit. I believe on the laying on of hands. I believe in casting out devils. I believe in causing people to be healed by the power of God's anointing. I believe in speaking in other tongues. I believe in speaking in unknown tongues. I believe in prophecy. And I believe in a spiritual prayer language that comes out of every believer that desires it. Let me help somebody. You know, people get confused about this stuff, but there's differences in speaking in tongues. There is a other tongue that occurred here in the book of Acts, the second chapter. They were all in one place, and there was somebody that spoke in Spanish, and somebody spoke in Greek, somebody spoke in Hebrew, but then I started speaking in Spanish so she could understand. She started speaking in Greek so he could understand, and that was the Holy Spirit giving utterance that the Spirit of God could proclaim the gospel and the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead through the gift of speaking in other tongues. Somebody say other tongues. Ooh, let me help somebody. But there's also a gift of unknown tongues. Let me be very clear. There is a gift, a specific spiritual gift of speaking in unknown tongues. I know you might not came for this today, but that's too bad. But there's a gift of speaking in unknown tongue. The role of that unknown tongue is for the purpose of edifying the body of Christ. And any time that an unknown tongue is spoken aloud in a church, there should be also with it the gift of interpretation. Can I help somebody? Paul says it this way, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifies himself, but he that prophesies edifies the church. That is the gift of unknown tongues. But there's also another tongue. It is a heavenly prayer language. It is a language between you and God as the Spirit of God fills you and empowers you. There is a heavenly language that comes out of the belly of your soul that you ought to be able to intercede, and the Holy Spirit prays through you in utterances that are not learned or taught. It is by the presence of the Holy Spirit being in your life, and I can pray and pray in the will of the Father through me, through the speaking or praying in an unknown tongue. Somebody say tongues. We're talking about tongues this morning, about the presence of God being fulfilled in your life. But there's other gifts. There's the gift of healings. There's the gift of administration. There's the gift of prophecy. But there's also another gift that we always look about beyond. In the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, it says, look, all these gifts are good. And at the end of that 12th chapter, it says, behold, I show you a more excellent way. It says, though I speak with an unknown tongue, and though I prophesy and have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. I love speaking in tongues. I love praying in tongues. I love all the gifts of the Spirit. But it's strange. It's that you can speak in tongues, but you can't talk to people. You can prophesy, but you can't proclaim God's love to somebody that you don't like. You know, I'm amazed. You know, we get tied up in this stuff, and I believe in all of this stuff. But also the Holy Spirit is not just one for gifts, but it's also one that can defer and give kindness to people even when they don't deserve kindness. Being nice to people that are mean to you, that is the act
of the Holy Spirit. So yes, I believe in speaking in tongues, but along with speaking in tongues, God also touches you to love somebody else. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Well, in our text, in Acts, the second chapter, as this event occurs where they spoke with other tongues, and then towards the second part of that chapter, they saw them speaking in tongues, and the Bible says this. It says, and they must be filled with new wine. This is what they said. Those that were looking and seeing these people babbling and speaking in other languages, they said they must be filled with new wine. That's what it says here. Is it in the book? It is in the book. Right there. It's right there. It's right there. Verse 13, second chapter. Others mocked, saying, these men are full of new wine. It's very significant. Can we just put a pinpoint here real quickly? It's very significant because of the fact they knew what normal drunkenness was. They said, this stuff is different. How many of y'all used to smoke weed? How many of y'all smoke weed? I didn't tell you to raise your hand, but if you used to smoke weed, I tried it too. Don't get. But there is differences in types of weed. I got everybody's attention. I mean, there's that weed is kind of, you know, they added some other stuff to it that really, you know, had no effect. But you knew when you got the good stuff. Somebody saying amen. Come on, you're over it now. And you knew there was a substantial difference because it had a different kind of impact on you. They saw that, look, we know what being drunk is, but this is some new stuff we ain't never seen before. What is happening to them? They are drunk with new wine. But Peter said, wait a second. You got it mixed up. Verse 14, it says, then Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all that dwell here at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, hearken my words, for these are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it is the third hour of the day. But this is that. Let me drop here real quickly. Somebody say, this is not this. This is that. Let me help somebody. This is not this. This is that. A lot of times when we see miracles happen in the church, when we see the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, we want to logically compute it in our mind, say, oh, they just had, they had an emotional experience. They had an emotional breakdown. They're losing their mind. No, this is not this. This is not normal things. This is not logical behavior. This is that which is spoken of the prophet Joel, that in the last days I shall pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Ooh, let me help somebody here today. Somebody said, oh, that Holy Spirit stuff isn't for everybody. That Holy Spirit stuff, the indwelling of God's power, is not for everybody. The Bible says, I shall pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions, and I shall pour out my spirit. I want to let you know right now, the presence of God's Spirit is in this place. And I don't know about you, but I came with expectation of an outpouring of God's Spirit. Just pop a note here real quickly. Just lift your hands to the Lord and say, Lord, pour out your spirit on me. Come on, get that in your spirit. Come on, lift your hands. Everybody that wants it, everybody that wants a touch from God's presence, just say, Lord, pour out your spirit on me. Come on, put your hands together and bless the Lord. In verse 19 through 36, Peter begins to explain to them about the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. But then after they heard about the resurrection, that Jesus Christ died and he was buried and he rose again, and this is what was spoken of the prophet Joel, that the Spirit of God shall be poured out upon all flesh. The Bible says, and they heard this, verse 37, they heard this, and they were pricked in their heart, and they said unto the Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? How can we get this? We want this new stuff that is not by wine, that is not by emotion, but by the presence of God's Spirit. How shall we get what you have? In verse 38, then Peter said unto them, there are three things you must do in order to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. He says the first thing you need to do is repent. Oh, bless your name, Jesus. Repent. Come on, whatever that is in your life, repent. That sin that you are tied up in, repent. That homosexuality, repent. That fornication, repent. That lying, that backbiting, that cheating, that whoremongering, repent. That's what the Bible says. If you want the presence of God's Spirit in your life, you got to repent. Isaiah, the 55th chapter, verse 6 and 7, it says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked man forsake his ways and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and he will abundantly pardon. You need to repent. You know, I know we are tied up on the grace of God, and I believe in the grace of God and his forgiveness and his mercy. And I want to tell you today that no matter what you did in the past, no matter what sin that you committed, whether you fornicated, whether you slept with every man, slept with every woman, did this, did that, it does not matter. I want to let you know God can forgive you, and his grace is enough. But now it's time for you to repent. And it's not by saying sorry and going back and do the same thing. Repent means to return back to God. Get your life in order and turn your life over to him. Can I help somebody? I was at breakfast yesterday morning. I went out to breakfast and had me some fish and grits. And as I was at the restaurant, there was a young lady sitting next to me. And I asked her the question, have you ever accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? See, I believe that every place I go is an opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus. I said, have you accepted him? He says, yes, I have. I said, well, listen, if Jesus came back today, would you go to heaven? She said, well, he knows my heart. Yeah, he does. It's full of wickedness. Repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. A lot of times we come up with that excuse, oh, God knows my heart. Yes, he does. It's full of wickedness, sin, lust, pornography, sex, and drugs, alcohol, lying, backbiting. God is calling you now to repent. Somebody ought to turn to your neighbor and just shake him real good and say, neighbor, it's time to repent. It's time to repent. Oh. The second thing. The second thing in this 38th verse, it says, and be baptized. You know, I struggle with this a little bit because when you look at it, it brings significance that baptism has something very significant in your relationship with Jesus. So I had to kind of unpack this thing. If you read Mark, the 16th chapter, verse 16 to 18, it says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall lay hands on the sick. They shall recover. They shall pick up deadly things that shall not hurt them. They shall speak with new tongues. It is significant because of the fact that baptism is your obedience to God proclaiming that you have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. The baptism does not save you. We know this because the thief on the cross confessed him as Lord and believed that he was going to get up because he said, "Remember me when you go into your kingdom." And he got saved right there on the cross, bypassed hell, and went to glory. But you have to understand that after you accept Jesus, you should be obedient to the call of Christ and be baptized. It's just water, but it is a declaration that yes, I have committed to accepting Jesus as not only as my Savior to save me from the penalty of hell, sin, and death, but also that I have committed unto the Lordship of Jesus Christ and I submit to His will, His way, and His word. Just turn to your neighbor and say, "Neighbor, you got to repent and you got to be baptized." Well, what's the third thing? The third thing is that you got to receive. Somebody say receive. Come on, get the neighbor. Say receive. You got to receive. See, with every gift. You know what? I love Christmas time, and I love Christmas time. I don't like to get a lot of stuff because then they put more stuff on the credit card. But I love when David and Jonathan come downstairs. They get excited about Christmas morning. They just know there's something under the tree. There's something under the tree for day, and they're excited. 6 o'clock in the morning is the only time that I can get David and Jonathan out of the bed at 6 o'clock is on Christmas morning. They come downstairs. They're peeking. Can we come down now? Can we? And they want to come because they have expectation that there is a gift under the tree for them. And then when they come, we say, "Look, under the tree, there's some gifts. Find your name with your gift on it so that you can receive what is yours." Somebody didn't get that. David and Jonathan, they come down on Christmas morning. They look under the tree and we tell them, "Find the gift with your name on it so you can receive what is yours." God has a gift with your name on it. And it's the gift of the Holy Ghost. He does not want you only to be saved and have the Holy Ghost in you, but He wants to fill you with the presence of the Holy Ghost. Somebody ought to say the Holy Ghost. Somebody's not getting this. You know, you might have heard this story a long time ago. David and Jonathan came in here one day, and it was a big pile of blankets. David came over to me and says, "Daddy, can you pick me up and throw me over there?" Yeah, you remember that. He said, "Daddy, pick me up and throw me over there." See, David had relationship with me. He's my son. Jonathan is my son. They have relationship. But he saw an opportunity to experience something that he never experienced before. And he came to his daddy with his hands uplifted and said, "Daddy, can you pick me up to another level and move me to a new direction?" Ooh, Johnny saw the experience that David had, and David had wiggled, and he laughed. And he was filled with joy. And Johnny said, "Listen, I see the experience that David had. Daddy, can you do me too? Because I want to be lifted up and move to a new direction." Well, it didn't stop there. David came back. He remembered the experience that he first had. He remembered the joy that he first had. He remembered the empowerment of his daddy lifting him up and moving him to a new direction. And he came back one more time and said, "Daddy, do me again." I want to let you know this morning that God wants to fill you with His presence. God wants to fill you with His Spirit. God wants you to speak in tongues. God wants you to lay hands on the sick. God wants you to cast out devils. God wants you to pick up deadly things, and it shall not hurt you. It is the gifts for the believers. God wants to give it to you. But you gotta want to receive everything that God has for you. Come on, put your hands together and stand on your feet. And come on, let's worship the Lord. Come on, come on. Oh, let's worship Him.
Pour out your spirit. Pour out your spirit. Pour out your spirit in me. This morning, normally after the sermon, we open up the altar for people that want to be saved. But what I want to do today is open up the altar for believers. Those of you that have been saved. But you know what? You say, I have not been filled with the presence of God's Spirit. The anointing of the Holy Ghost is here today. It is purpose and is willed for you to be here. And this morning, if you're not filled, if you just want an overshadowing of God's presence, come on up to this altar. I'm going to lay hands on you, and I'm going to pray that you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Come on, come on, come on, right now, if you're a believer, come on, come on, come on. Oh, bless your name, God. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, come on, come on. The presence and the anointing. I want all to stand for Chosen 300. Y'all get up here. Holy Ghost.